I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. Is it important that I find my divinity? Is it important that I know who I am? Is it important that I know the very course that directs my life and directs my activities? We as human beings spend the first 20 years of our life training ourselves to be human beings. We develop our human bodies from the embryo to the adult. And as we develop our human body from the embryo to the developed adult, we build muscles, we build bone, we build brain matter, we build all the things that are necessary for a perfect human being. We spend time eating the perfect foods, drinking pure water, drinking beneficial juices and milk and other things that are helpful to our body. Yes, we are born to drink mother's milk. It is a normal and a wonderful thing. We are born to breathe pure air, free of contaminants, but mentally we put contaminants in there. Mentally we can take them out. We are born to live a life of abundance, for our cells compound themselves and add to themselves and join themselves with new and wonderful cells. Is this cell development or cell addition, does it come from the foods we eat, from the minerals we take in, from the vitamins we enjoy? No. The cells compound themselves. The cells develop themselves 100% from a mental cause. The foods we eat are merely an indication of our respect for our human body. We put in our human body only the most beautiful, pure, and wonderful foods. We put in our mind only the pure and most wonderful thoughts. For 20 years, we work on our body with great diligence. We are in sports, and we develop a very harmonious body. We go dancing, We climb mountains, we ski, we play. Parents don't make us work normally. We are allowed to go out and have fun and play. Go out and play, Mother would often say. Go out and play. Then our mothers and fathers and society, thinking that they're benefiting us, teach us that we must work. Teach us that we must sweep the sidewalk, we must clean the house, we must do our chores. And from that moment on, the word work becomes a heinous thought in our mind. Whereas cleaning the sidewalks, cleaning the house, doing the laundry, doing all the lovely things that life has for us to do is a joy. Not work, not something that we delegate to the realm of the undesirable. Now you go take your bath, you're dirty. That makes us not want to take a bath. The mother says to us, after you had your bath, sweetheart, you smell so lovable, so kissable, I could just smother you with all the happiness I am. We jump in that tub and we scrub ourselves up. We say, Mommy, here I am. And Mommy says, oh, you are wonderful. Yes. You and I, as individuals, created our mothers doing those things or not doing those things. We created the challenge of life to be a bore, as you often find it, a joy, as you minimally find it, or great happiness, bliss, as you find it so rarely. You treasure those one or two moments you remember of great happiness and bliss. Now we know great happiness and bliss is a very desirable thing, a very wonderful thing. You would think that we'd want to spend our time developing our character to enjoy that sort of thing. You would think that living in a healthy body was something that was desirable. Healthy body with strong arms and legs, with beautiful complexion, with glorious hair, glorious physiognomy throughout every organ, action, function of our bodies. First, you'd think that that would be desirable, but no. We're taught to smoke cigarettes. Oh yes, television has taught us that for years. Our mothers and fathers, by example, and our friends and neighbors and relatives have taught us that, by example, that smoking is good. And yet, it defames the very temple in which we live. We say, I breathe the pure air of my creation, and then we put smoke in it. And we put chemicals in our body, chemicals we know are not good for us. Scientists today are coming to the conclusion that when man eats a limited diet, he lives longer. When man eats a diet that is sparse, he is healthier. When they feed rats less food, a sufficient diet, but less food, they are healthier and live longer. The fruit fly, when they gave the fruit fly a minimum balanced diet that allowed it to live harmoniously, but not excessively on the food, it lived longer, healthier, more harmonious. But you and I We are taught to stuff ourselves. We are taught to eat. If there's something left on the table, eat it. Eat it. It's not because we want it or need it, because it's there. We climb a mountain because it's there, not because we joy in climbing it and thrill in climbing it. We may do that also, but we should climb a mountain because it is a joyful, thrilling experience, exercising our body, proving to us the marvelous capacity of our body to do anything. We make heavy sauces, and we put these sauces on our food, and we think, oh, don't they make the food delicious? When Stefan first came to campus, he fell in love with ketchup. And he would take ketchup, a condiment, which is merely supposed to be put on a hamburger or on a wiener or whatever, to sort of enhance the taste of the general food. And he would pour out teaspoons full of it, and enjoy it so thoroughly. And it's a pleasure to see him do it. But that's not what a condiment is. A condiment is something just to tantalize the food in its gentle, sensitive use. And as we use it abundantly, it sort of jades our taste buds, and we no longer taste it unless we have a lot of it. We make enough sauces to spread over the floor and polish the whole house. And a sauce is supposed to be a condiment also, just sort of a taste bud flavor tempter. We're not used to eating the pure foods with their delightful aroma, their delightful, tasteful flavor. As many meat companies advertise, cook your meat so that the juices remain in the meat while it's cooking to enhance its flavor, its own juices. We cook our vegetables and we throw out the juice of the vegetables that we cook them in, and in the vegetable, in the juice, is all the flavor, is all the vitamins, is all the good stuff. And we're eating just empty shells. That's why the cooker that Monica has that keeps the juices right into the vegetables and things like that is so ideal. But that's not the answer. That's only one of the solutions. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace and in this quietness find my divinity. I've been telling you about the outer and how we have trained the outer. And you can readily understand that you follow me 100%. You went along with me on the chores, the work. You went along with me on the vegetables. You went along with me on the smoking. And the same goes for alcohol, which utterly destroys the cells of our body. And if those things on the physical do so, imagine what the things on the mental do so. When you say, I can't, I don't know how, it doesn't work out, I'm being pushed around, I'm being pushed down, I'm being hurt, I'm being destroyed, people are sitting on me, nobody loves me. Such silly things to say. Rather say, I am wonderful, I like me, I'm a happy person, I'm joyous. Everybody wants to be with me. Everybody loves me. And then shut up and live that way. And watch how you are a magnet to all the joy, happiness, goodness that's around you. Nobody wants to sit on you. Nobody wants to push you. Nobody wants to give you a hard time. Even you don't want to give yourself a hard time when you put the right information in your mind. But again, that's the outer. Yes, even the mind is the outer. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace and in this quietness find my divinity. If we have taken 20 years to go from nothing to an adult. And we have dedicated 20 years, maybe more. Some people go more, some people less, but some people go more. How worthy is it for us to spend a little time on going into that inner cave of absolute peace, and in quietness find our divinity? Each one of you have had good times in the 3-hour meditation. Each one of you have done wonders in the 3-hour meditation, but not often. It's like a moment of bliss. And basically you have done well when you did well because you had a spark within you that lit your inner enthusiasm. But most of the time you're concerned about your outer. You're thinking about your 3-hour meditation. You say, how in the hell can I keep sitting up all this 3 hours? How can I keep my body erect? How can I keep my mind alert? How can I keep my head upright? How can I keep my thoughts on whatever I'm putting into my 3-hour meditation? How can I do this? 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 And we push ourselves right down in the dump. Like the mother says, you've got to take a bath. You're stinking. Instead of saying, oh, I could love you to pieces. Every time you get out of that bathtub, I just want to snuggle you and snuggle you and snuggle you. You're so sweet. You're so wonderful. Now, a big, tough young kid says, yeah. But he takes his bath and he goes for a snuggle, you betcha. You are a big, tough kid sitting there in your 3-hour meditation thinking, oh, I got to lean back and fall asleep. I got to do this. My mouth is so dry. Why is it so dry? Well, because I was sleeping with my mouth open. Why am I so tired in the 3-hour meditation? Because you don't want to do it. If you want to do anything, you're enthusiastic about it. If you want to do anything, you're alert, wide awake. But every morning, 3 hours in this sort of thing, I tell you, you spent 20 years of your life going from nothing to adult on just the physical level. Now, I guarantee you, the moment you really strike pay dirt and you go into your inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness you find your divinity, you will no longer do the 3-hour meditation. You will never do it again, never. You will do a 24-hour meditation. You will be living in the consciousness of your inner divinity all of the time. You will be all of the time living in your pure, fine, beautiful, glorious self. All of the time you will be living with your thought uplifted. You will not need sleep, but you will sleep for the joy of it. You will not need to eat, but you will eat for the pleasure of it. You will not need to breathe, but you will breathe for the habit of it. You will not need to drink, but you will drink in whatever quantity pleases you. Some masters eat just a grain of rice to be sociable with their chelas, with their students. What is our inner awareness worth to us? Can we discipline our human bodies sufficiently so that they will be receptive to whatever it takes to be alert to that inner self? As a child, we learn to behave, but we're not taught that it's behaving. We're just saying, well, Pumpkinhead, when you put away your clothes, your room looks so nice. I love to come in your room because it always looks so orderly. And the kid's got clothes strewn all over the place. And the mother comes in again and says, "Oh, your room is always so lovely. I like to come in here because it's so orderly. You have such an orderly mind and such an orderly attitude." And the room's still a mess. And this goes on for weeks. The mother never dying to her point. And then, little by little, rebellion, the lack of discipline, changes into a discipline. And the youngster begins to keep his room clean. The youngster begins to take pride in it. Mother comes in and says, "Oh, I am so proud of you, the way you hang your trousers up on the hangers in the closet. You do it with such neatness, and you smooth them out, and you say, oh, here's one you didn't smooth. My goodness, I guess you must have missed that. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you." Oh, that does such wonders in training children. I wonder if it do a wonder in training ourselves. When we sit up straight, we say, "Oh, I'm so proud of you." When our shoulders are back and our head is up, we say, "I'm so proud of you." When we listen to the divine within, we say, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you." Tuning into that station instead of something else. No. Tuning into that station. "I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you." Guess what our bodies would do? They'd cooperate. You look at Gertrude. She sits upright. She didn't sit stiff. She just sits proper. Gertrude has a great deal to gain. She's not with us all the time. But she's disciplined and she sits there. Oh, she has her moments. But she says, "I'm so proud of you," when she sits up proper. And you can just see the joy in her heart as she sits there during her 3-hour meditation. Gertrude is not the end and all of perfection. She's good. But when a person is good, follow their goodness. And when a person has growth areas, let that alone. Let that alone. Our body has destroyed us enough in this lifetime. Stop letting it do it anymore. Our body says we want to eat, we want to drink, we want to sleep, we want to have relationships, we want to have this, we need love. Oh dear, how we need love. Oh my goodness. And all of these things are just little activities, little tools that want to take us away from our divine inner self. That's okay. That's perfectly okay. But if your divine inner self is what you really want, then start treating your divine inner self as nicely as you would treat your child using some of these newer thoughts that we're suggesting. "Oh, you're going to be an engineer, you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief." "But Ma, I want to be a ballet dancer." "Oh, come on now, boys, don't do that." Agree with your adversary quickly, Mama, and your adversary will become your devoted friend. "Hey, you'd like to become a ballet dancer? I think that's wonderful. Now, have you studied up on it? Do you know what it means to do that? Let's go down to the library and find out some books on it. Let's go visit a ballet school and see what they do. Maybe they'll take you as a student. And you can wear these tights that they wear and these little shoes that they wear to stand on their toes. Can you stand on your toes? Now, stand on your toes and stay on your toes for a little while. See how long you can stand there. Because when you're a ballet dancer, that's what you do. You stand on your toes." And pretty soon, after all that attention and all that approval, the kid says, "Nah, I think I'll be a forest ranger. Or I'm going to be a baseball player. Or I'm going to be a scientist." And always agree with him. And as you agree with them, they will study those things thoroughly and gain a benefit from having researched them and chosen yes or no about them. Perhaps they do want to be a ballet dancer. And that would be so wonderful if that were their choice and they were able to work on it early without having to work against somebody like their mother or father or sisters or brothers. So Herb, are you saying when our body says, let us sleep during the meditation, we should sleep? Yes, I guess that's what I'm saying. Because at no point in your life have you ever disciplined yourself to be master of your body. So if your body is your master, go ahead, sleep. You certainly don't want the inner path. But Herb, you're saying that when we fall asleep, that means we don't want the inner path? No. I'm saying that when you fall asleep, it shows you have not disciplined yourself to be master of your body. That's what I said. You have not disciplined yourself to be master of your body. That's all I said. It has nothing to do with not wanting your spiritual inner self. Everybody wants their spiritual inner self. We give ourselves the test of a body that wants to keep us from that inner self. A body that says, I got to go potty, right in the middle of your 3-hour meditation. No way. No way. You go potty before the 3-hour meditation, and then during the 3-hour meditation, your mind is not on your body if you train it. I'm talking ideal here. I'm not talking where we are in consciousness at this moment. This is the ideal, and this is what I would have for you. I always see you as the ideal. You're sitting in the 3-hour meditation, and you feel a draft. Nonsense. You don't have a body. You are totally spirit. You are totally immune to what's going on around you. Oh, I've got to wear something to be warm and cozy, otherwise I'll feel cold, and if I'm cold, I can't meditate. Nonsense again. If you are warm and cozy and this makes you feel good, go ahead and do it. The point comes when you don't feel warm or cold in your meditation, then you're in your meditation. But so long as you feel your body because you give it attention and you allow it to manipulate you, then you're going to feel warm or cold. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. You go into this inner cave within you, and in quietness there, you listen. In quietness there, you sing your songs of joy about yourself. In quietness there, you fall in love with yourself once again. When you were a little baby, you loved yourself. You loved to suck on your toes and grab a hold of yourself, and you'd suck on any part of your body you could get into your mouth, your hands, your elbows, your whatevers. And you always, as a parent, thought that was good. But you'll ruin your upper bite if you suck on your thumb too much as you grow up. You'll do this and do that. You don't do that. Sucking on your thumb is a matter of loving yourself. And then, as you grow older, you grow out of the sucking aspect, the nipple aspect, the nursing aspect. And you get into the chewing aspect, and you get into the mental attitude aspect. And each one of these aspects takes you away from loving yourself, where you were, as a baby, totally involved in yourself. But now you're ready for being an adult. Oh, you say you are an adult already? I see. Are you master of your habit in all areas? If you're not, You didn't do your training. You didn't go to school very well in the school of training how to be a human being. Do you love yourself unconditionally? Even when you do, quote, dumb, end quote, things? If you do, if you love yourself unconditionally, you were well trained in your school of being a human. Because human beings who learn respect for themselves learn respect for others. Human beings who find the world a joyous place find everyone acceptable in every beautiful way. And if a person is doing something the world might consider bad or evil or wrong, you may observe that same experience and see the person doing something, hey, that's interesting. No judgment, no right or wrong, that's interesting. And then as you keep doing this, unconditionally loving yourself, your world, and all that's in it, then whoever you really are, whatever purity you have in your soul, whatever goodness manifests from the depths of your very being, because that's who you are, whatever it is, that's all you will create in your world of vision. And you will see every single human being, animal, mineral, vegetable, plant of every kind, insect, anything, all living in harmony with who you think you are. You're the creator. Now, who do you think you are? Are you the creator who creates everything beautiful and good? Or are you the creator who creates things with limitation? It's all up to you. It's all up to you. I created a little love right now, coming over and drinking out of my water glass. And just having a lovely drink, then going back behind Ingeborg to sit by the heater and enjoy the rest of our talk. Now, where do you stand on this? How long are we going to let our bodies run our world? Well, I'm crippled and I can't do this. But Maynard Lynn Siegel, you can fly.
But my wing.
You can fly if you want to.
But my wing is broken.
You can fly if you want to. And a few moments later,
look, 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 I can fly, I can fly, I can fly.
And there was Maynard flying through the night sky. For he left the illusion of the broken wing be gone. And he flew with his perfect wings. We too can let the illusion of anything less than our purity and perfection no longer be in our life as we keep our mind centered on who and what we are. Who and what are you? Who and what am I? What is our joyful decision for ourselves? What is it? Are we happy people? Are we joyful people? Are we filled with love and filled with peace and filled with harmony and filled with everything that's good? Well, we can. We can. Begin now to listen within yourself and know within yourself who and what you are. We'll talk more on these things because they're wonderful. But show yourself whether your body runs your life, your mind runs your life, or the divine runs your life. I should say the divine is your life. Think about these things. They're very wonderful. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. My mantra. My own. I go into my inner cave of absolute peace, and in this quietness find my divinity. I love you.